So a few weeks back, I had to get my eyes checked. Not because I was having a problem seeing, but because I have a class 2 driver's license. I have to have a medical exam every 5 years. And part of that is a vision test. And so I went to my doctor's office and the nurse set up the chart. Now, I felt a little bit of pressure going into this because as someone who is probably overly competitive and driven to succeed, I couldn't study for this test. I couldn't like ensure that I was gonna ace it. I will admit though that I went to the internet and Googled how many lines down the chart I had to read in order to have perfect vision. So at least I knew that as I went into it. But I got there, she put up the chart, she told me to stand over there and she gave me the little spoon to cover your eye. And she said, start where you feel comfortable reading and then see how many lines you can do. And so the first line, I started maybe 3 lines down, was easy. The second one was pretty easy. And by the third one, I was starting to kind of squint a little bit with one eye and try to see what is that? Is that an O or is that a Q? Or is that an M or is that an N? And so I kind of mumbled my way through that line. And then by the time I got to the next, I said, okay, I think that's a C, but really I'm guessing at this point. Shit, okay, switch eyes. So I moved over to this other eye. And if I had been smart, I would have just memorized all the letters that I've already read. But I didn't even think about that at that time. So I started doing the same thing and got to the spot where I couldn't quite tell what it was anymore. And so she said, okay, open both eyes and read this line that you're on. And when I opened both of my eyes, all of a sudden it was perfectly clear. And I realized that I'd made some mistakes in the letters that I had read with one eye. But I could easily read that next line with two eyes. Once I could fully see, I could see what it was I was reading. And so it came out that both of my eyes on their own are a little bit weak, but together I have 20/20 vision with both of my eyes operating at the same time. You know, eyes are really fascinating. You know what it's like to walk in from bright sunlight into a dark room, or the opposite, from a dark room into bright sunlight. If you were to walk from bright sunlight into a pitch black room, it would take your eyes 20 to 30 minutes to fully adjust to the darkness. And in that time, your eye would become 10,000 to 1 million times more sensitive to light. So this is why when you turn off the light before you go to bed, the room looks pitch black. But after a few minutes, you start to see, oh yeah, my dresser's over there, and there's the door, and there's the closet. You can kind of pick out where things are a little bit because your eyes are adjusting. But if you go the other way, from complete darkness into bright sunlight, it only takes your eyes 5 minutes to adjust. Now, the reason's pretty obvious, right? When you have light, you can see clearly. When you're in the dark, you struggle to be able to see properly. Now, as we get to Christmas this year, what I want us to think about is this light and darkness theme, and to realize that Christmas, and more specifically Jesus, gives us a spiritual vision test every Christmas to say, are we truly seeing things the way that they really are? Are we truly allowing the light of Jesus to illuminate the world around us so that we can really see? Just as Christmas lights brighten up a dark street at this time of year where the days are short and there's lots of darkness, so Jesus brightens up this dark world to help us see. That's our main thought today, is that Jesus brightens up this dark world to help us to see. So Christmas is this invitation to have your spiritual eyes checked. But of course, there's lots going on, and so it's easy just to rush past that and ignore what Jesus is actually inviting us to. So I'd like us just to stop and think a bit about darkness and light. Over the last 4 Sundays, we have been going through the Advent season. If you've been watching us online or joining us in person, you've noticed we've produced videos that have tracked this theme of darkness to light. And we've lit a candle in our main service in person where we're slowly building up to the light of Christ. And today we celebrate that all of these candles are lit, that the light of the world has arrived. These themes that we've tracked throughout Advent are hope, joy, peace, love, and Christ through the lens of darkness to light. And we understand this darkness. In fact, though we would probably prefer not to think about the darkness in the world at Christmas time, it's only when we truly reflect on how dark the darkness is that the bright light of Christ shines at its brightest intensity. So let's think about darkness for a minute. In these videos that we produced, we made a number of statements about darkness and what it feels like. Here's some of what we said. We said, darkness is a hopeless state. It's the absence of light. It's evil. It is despair. Darkness is the fearful pinch we feel in our spine when we can't tell if there's something behind us, and the cold hopelessness we feel in our gut when we can't tell if there's something ahead. Darkness is an enemy of peace. The darkness we see in the upset of the world trickles down to our very core. Darkness is strange and unknown. It can be difficult to see joy in the dark world that we live in a world where we don't have to look far to see hurt and loneliness. Darkness is loneliness, it is hurt, it is despair, masquerading as truth. It's the voice that tells a person, you are alone, you are unloved. We feel this, don't we? And though this is a joyful time of year, we actually do well to allow ourselves to feel that for a moment. The prophet Isaiah writes about darkness in Isaiah chapter 8. He's writing to the Israelites, God's chosen people. These people were chosen to demonstrate the love of God to the world, and yet they failed to do that, and they also failed to follow God. And so he's writing to them 700 years before Jesus. He's about to prophesy that Jesus is going to come. But before he does that, he reflects with them on the darkness of the world that they're living in right now. I think we can relate to some of this. He says this in chapter 8, verse 19. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? So what's he saying? He's saying in the darkness of the current spiritual climate, you're turning to other ways of trying to find the light. You're turning to mediums and spiritists, to the occult, to try to find meaning, to try and find light in this dark time. Verse 20, consult God's instructions and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and their God. In other words, both of their political and their spiritual attempts to find meaning in their current situation have failed. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. This is a painful spot to be, and perhaps you feel that within or without when you look either inside yourself or around at the world, you feel this darkness. But Isaiah says, and we say here at Christmas, that there is light. Chapter 9 starts with the word nevertheless. Despite all of the darkness, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So Isaiah says, yes, the current situation looks really bleak, but God is going to provide a way out of it. He is going to provide light that will drive out the darkness. It's interesting when you read these verses in Isaiah. Remember, he's telling us about something that's going to happen. The ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy is going to come 700 years from now, or from when he writes. So he's looking into the distant future, and yet J. Alec Motyer, an Old Testament scholar, writes this about this. He says, this is a sure hope, so sure that according to Hebrew idiom, and this was originally written in Hebrew, it is written in past tenses as if it's already happened. He writes this in the past tense, even though it's 700 years in the future, to tell us this is so surely going to come to pass that I'm writing it as if it's already happened. That's how sure you can be about God's light breaking into the darkness. So what does this light look like? Well, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign over David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal, the passion of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So Isaiah says, hey, there's something that is wonderful coming that is going to drive out the darkness that you feel. What's it going to look like? Well, someone is going to come, a child is going to be born, and he's going to provide us with these things. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. Have you ever felt confused and lost in this world and unsure about the decisions that you're supposed to make and the direction that you're supposed to go? Well, Jesus is going to come and be a counselor to bring light into the darkness of your confusion. And not only is he a counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. He's leading you in the best possible ways. He's going to come and he's going to be a mighty God. Have you ever felt helpless and powerless to affect change in your own life or in the world? Well, this child that is going to come is going to provide you with that power. And not only is he mighty, but he's also God. And so he speaks from this position of transcendence and omnipotence. He's all powerful and can provide you with the strength that you need. He's an everlasting Father. Have you ever felt abandoned or alone? Without friend, without love in this world? Well, he's going to come as a Father who will never leave, who will always be with you. He's everlasting from beginning to end. He will always be there for you, and you'll never be alone. He's the Prince of Peace. Have you struggled with the conflict in this world, the lack of peace in the world? You don't have to search far for it in the news, but you also probably recognize it in yourself. Have you ever laid awake at night wondering about the conflict you're having with someone that you love? Well, Jesus comes into the midst of conflict and provides the path to peace. This is who he is. He's going to establish this peace. He's going to reign over his kingdom that will be characterized by peace. The greatness of his reign will never end, and he will come in righteousness and justice and holiness. This is what Isaiah was saying. Look forward to this, because this is going to come. This is the light of the world to drive out the darkness. So, how does this light come? Well, at Christmas, of course, we remember Jesus as the incoming light of the world. How do we know that this was Jesus? Well, because Jesus claimed this promise for himself. John 8, verse 12, Jesus has started his ministry, he's teaching, and Jesus says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's almost as if Jesus remembers this prophecy, because he did, of Isaiah, and he says, this is fulfilled in me. This is what I've come to do, is to establish this kingdom of light. So how does he do it? Well, two ways for us to think about tonight. The first is that the light defeats the darkness. The light defeats the darkness. Just like when your child, or when you were a kid, were in your room at night and you were afraid and you were wondering, is there something in this room that's going to harm you, while you turn on the lights and the darkness is driven out and you come to peace again. Jesus, this is said about Jesus in John 1, verse 4 and 5. "In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You know, the Bible talks about darkness as a power, the power of evil in our world. And Christmas reminds us that Jesus came to drive out the darkness, to defeat it. Ultimately, of course, doing so on the cross when he took the sin of the world on him and died with it. And even though it looked at that moment like all hope was lost and that the darkness had won, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, establishing and proving his power over it. So though the world looks like a dark place, though it looks like it's hopeless and we're destined for the grave, Jesus reminds us that there's a bigger story at play, that he has come to bring light so that we can truly see. N.T. Wright writes this. He says, "The light that God intends to bring illumination to the whole world, Jesus, is the same light that shines relentlessly into the world's dark corners." This is the light of Christ. that we see coming to us at Christmas time. The second thing we understand about how Jesus was this light of the world is that the light shows us the way. Jesus says this in John 14, verse 6. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, no one achieves to gains eternal life except they come unless they come to me, unless they put their trust in me. Notice Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm not a way, a truth, and a life. No, it's the truth. It's only through me that people gain eternal life. And so this means that Jesus is either just a nice story that we tell ourselves at Christmas that makes us feel good, or it's a real reality that needs to be responded to. And we either accept it or we don't. This is the invitation Jesus puts in front of us. It's an invitation to put our trust in him, and we either do so completely or we don't. This light is a gift that's offered to us. In fact, author and pastor Tim Keller says this, "There has never been a gift offered that makes you swallow your pride to the depths that the gift of Jesus requires us to do. It requires us to say, my spiritual eyesight is weak without Jesus. And so his light illuminates the way for us." There's a story told of a group of friends who went swimming one day. And over time, one of the guys in particular started to get really tired and weak. And there came a point actually when he was out in deep water and he was struggling to stay afloat. In fact, he couldn't stay afloat. He was thrashing around and looking for help. The other friends recognized that one of the other friends was actually a lifeguard, an excellent swimmer. And so they were pleading with him, "Go save our friend, go get him." And yet the lifeguard just stood on the shore watching. And watching and watching, and the friends were louder and more frantic. "Go save him! Go get him!" And finally, the friend who was struggling to swim started to give up, started to lose all energy, and was about to go under the water when the lifeguard sprang into action and went and got him and dragged him back to the shore. And after the rescue was over, the friend said to the lifeguard, "Why did you wait so long? Why didn't you go get him sooner?" And he said this, "Had I gone earlier, he would have clutched me so fast that we both would have gone under. A drowning man cannot be saved until he is utterly exhausted and ceases to make the slightest effort to save himself." Friends, this is the invitation that Christmas offers to us, where we come to the end of ourselves and say, "I cannot drive out the darkness in the world, let alone in my own life, on my own. I've tried so many different ways and I cannot do it. I need someone else to come and do this for me." And this is the offer that Jesus makes, to say, "I am the light of the world and I will defeat and drive out the darkness in your life and ultimately in the world." And this is what Christmas also reminds us of, is that one day Jesus will return again to drive out the darkness in the world completely. So this means we have a choice to make. Isaiah, this is Motyer again writing about Isaiah. "Isaiah therefore saw his prediction of darkness beginning to be fulfilled. But as always, we have to decide what reading of our experiences we're going to live by. The darkness and the distress are real, but they are neither the only reality nor even the fundamental reality. In any given situation, we can either sink into despair or we can rise to faith and hope." Isaiah insists that hope is part of the constitution of the here and now. Hope is what Jesus has brought and offers to you in the midst of your darkness. And so this Christmas is a spiritual vision test. Are you seeing by the light of Christ? Are you seeing reality as it truly is? Now, perhaps your answer is no, and so the invitation to you today is to say, maybe you need to admit you're at the end of yourself and that you need Jesus in your life to truly see. Maybe you've accepted this light before, but you're starting to wander into the darkness and you need to align your vision with Christ again. Or perhaps you're just in a position today to receive this light and thank God that he cared enough about you and me to enter into this world. So there's lots going on in the next couple of days for you, probably. But would you take some time to consider how Jesus is the light of the world and how he gives light to your spiritual eyes so that you might see? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the light that he brings to this world. And it's only by Jesus that we truly can see. And so would you align our eyesight with yours that we might see reality as it truly is and see you for who you truly are. We thank you for the gift of Jesus at Christmas. And we pray that you would fill this season with your light, your joy, your peace, your hope, and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.